Check, check. Testing, okay. 4 and 5-year-olds, you can go with Denise and Miss Deb. Good morning, guys. Welcome to Grace Fellowship. If you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to primarily be in Luke 6 and Galatians 5, if you want to open there. But if you don't have your Bibles, we'll actually have it on the screen. But I'm glad you could all be here this morning. Y'all look good. Got running kind of thin this morning, but that's okay. A lot of people are sick and got nastiness. But I'm glad that I'm able to preach to you guys this morning. The Lord has been working on me through this sermon. I don't know if you guys realize it, but when Tim has to prepare a sermon, he has to preach it to himself for a week before he actually shares it with you guys. And so that's what I've had to do this week, is actually preach this sermon to myself, and it's actually been very timely. We just finished the book of John, where we were in there for about a year. Next week, we will be starting the book of Acts, and we'll probably be there about a year, because we're going to go verse by verse through that. But this week, Tim has given me the opportunity to just share what's been on my heart. He said, hey, free reign, do what you want to do, preach on what you want to preach, which can be dangerous, I just kind of decided to go with what God has been teaching me lately and what I've been having to wrestle through. So we'll get started this morning, but it's good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be with my family again on a Sunday, and glad my little boy's here to make noises during the sermon. When I say the words doctrine and I say the words theology, what do you guys think about? Those are kind of big, scary, churchy words that people tend to, they hear those words and they get a little squirmy, a little weird. But understand, for about 1900 years to 2000 years, doctrine and theology has not had this bad connotation with it. Because the word doctrine simply means a set of beliefs. Set of beliefs. That's all the word doctrine means. And then when I say the word theology, all that means is the study of God. And so, study of God, beliefs about God, those are not bad things. But we live in a day and age where the church has said things like this: you don't need that old doctrine. All you need is love. Or stop focusing so much on theology and just live like Jesus. Now, I want to tell you this morning that not only are those phrases inconsistent, they're unbiblical. Because when someone says, we don't need doctrine, we just need to love Jesus, then what they're saying right there is, we don't need doctrine, but then they're presenting you with the doctrine. Does that make sense? And then when they say, stop focusing on theology, just focus on being like Jesus, they're actually presenting you with a belief. It's their belief. So what I want us to see this morning is that every single person in this room, actually in this city, in this country, is a theologian. Every one of you is a theologian. What I mean by that is you have a belief system about who God is. And here's the thing. Some of you ain't good theologians. Some of you have built God and your understanding of God around who you think He is and what you believe He is based off of experience, feelings, what your friend told you, what your grandma told you. What we have in our Christian world right now, our American culture, is we see a lot of people who just have these beliefs about God that they have made up on their own. They have no standard of truth by which they say God is, who they say God is. But we as Christians, we must understand that when we say we believe in God, we are Christians, we wear that name, we're saying we submit to this as our standard for who God is. Our theology, our doctrine, all of that comes from the Scriptures. We don't get to make that up and say God is who I say He is. So the thing is, guys, what I want us to see this morning is why that matters. Why does what we believe about God matter? Because I want us to understand that everything that we do in our lives, our actions, how we speak, how we respond to certain situations, what we think about day in and day out, how we live each and every moment is directly tied to what we believe about God. It's tied to our doctrine. It's tied to our theology. Here at Grace Fellowship, that's why we focus so hard on the Scriptures and teaching the right things about God. It's why we don't do topical sermons each week where Tim gets to decide, I'm going to teach about this week. We walk through the book verse by verse because we can't squirm around things and say what we want to say and say our opinions, because the scriptures are right there to say, no, that's not what's right. So we go through it verse by verse so you can see the truth of who God says he is, not based off of our opinions, but based off of the scriptures and the scriptures alone. What I believe that is important, guys, is because if our theology is off and our doctrine is off, it means our belief is off about God, and that will manifest in the way that we live our lives. Here is a rule or a law of the scriptures. Right beliefs about God lead to right living for God and his glory. Jesus says it this way, a good tree with good roots produces good fruit. But the same thing is back is goes the other way. A bad tree with bad roots will produce bad fruit. Here's the problem, though. Many of us in this room have good doctrine, have good theology. We have heads full of knowledge. We know who God is. We know who he says he is in the scripture. We know what the gospel is. We have an understanding of that. But we have no idea how to apply that to our daily lives. We have no idea how to walk in light of the truth that we claim to know in our heads because it hasn't gone down into our hearts. James would call us hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And guys, today I want us to understand at each time in our lives, different phases, we are all hearers of the word and not doers of the word. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us has perfect theology where we walk it out perfectly every day. But today I want us to focus on some things that would help us to walk it out better. On a day-to-day basis, we all struggle to believe the truth about God. Paul calls this the fight of faith. It's the struggle to believe the truth about who God says he is versus the lies of the enemy, of our feelings, of the world, of our circumstances. I want us to realize that we're in a battle for that every single day. I want us all to be aware of the struggle and then learn how to fight it. Learn how to fight it because, guys, listen, this is reality. This is going to happen to you today. You are going to be faced with something that's going to tell you God is one way, your heart's going to believe one way, and then you're going to be tempted to not believe the truth of who God has displayed himself to be in the scriptures, and you're going to believe what your heart says. And that's going to manifest in the fruit of your life. So let's get started. If you want to look, open your Bibles to Luke 6. That's where we're going to start this morning. I want to pray real quick again before we get started, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for your word that is living and active, that cuts between our marrow and our bone, digs down into the deepest areas of our soul and exposes us. And that sounds hard, but God, that is good. Because so often, we trust in ourselves. We trust in our false beliefs. We trust in our flesh. And God, it leads to misery. It leads to destruction. And you have given us your powerful, powerful scriptures to correct us and lead us on the right path for your glory and for our good. So today I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would go out into my heart, into my brothers and sisters and hearts here, into those who may not even know you that are here. And God, you would cause us to see Jesus. You would teach us what it looks like to fight the battle of faith every day, minute by minute, to walk in the truth, the reality that you have set forth, rather than our reality that we define based off of our standards. God, that we would learn what it means to walk by faith, faith in your word, faith in your truth, in your promises. Holy Spirit, we need you to do this. We cannot do this on our own. So Lord, please go to work in this place, in our hearts and our minds for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, Luke 6, 43 through 49, this is Jesus Christ talking. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Grapes would come from a grape bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure of his heart, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Guys, in this text, Jesus is not talking about farming. He's using a cultural illustration because these guys would have known a lot about farming, but he's not talking primarily about farming. He's talking about you and me, all of his people, all people in general. In this text, we are the trees, and the fruit is our actions, our deeds, our words, our thoughts. It's how we live our lives. And this is a universal truth, and it is hard to hear, but I want you to judge yourself by it. What we do in our lives, our fruit, is a direct reflection of what we believe in our hearts, our root. I had Elena do this drawing this morning. Thank you, Elena. She's got some skills. I don't know where she's at. But if you look at this, we got a tree here. This is what Jesus is talking about. And down here, you have the roots, which go down deep into the ground. What we believe is our root. And what that does is that leads up to the fruit in our lives. That's what Jesus is teaching here. And that's something we're going to discuss. When we say that we're Christians, we are proclaiming that we trust in Jesus Christ alone as our hope for salvation. We're proclaiming that we submit to Jesus as Lord and that God's word is our ultimate standard of truth and our ultimate authority. But listen, when people say that they're Christians and yet there is no trust in Jesus, there's no relationship, there's no abiding in him, there's no submission to God's word, there's no change in their actions, their thoughts, desires, when their lives aren't conformed to this word, their lives look no different than the world for a prolonged period of time that only God knows, listen to me, they're not yet Christians. They may say they're Christians, but just because we say something doesn't mean that we are in our hearts. They're not members of the church. They're not children of God. They are professors of Christ, but not possessors of Christ. But they are also our mission field. For 25 years of my life, that was me. I said I was a Christian, but the fruit of my life was evidence that the root of my life was not Jesus Christ. And it is not wrong to judge fruit. Jesus says to judge fruit. But when we judge our fruit, what we need to do is go down and ask ourselves, what's going on in my heart that's producing this fruit? We all act in accordance with what we believe. But here's the problem, brothers and sisters. How do we in the church tend to address bad fruit? We want to try to clean up the fruit while the root is still dead. We take all of the sin, the bad actions, the enjoying the things that put Christ on the cross, and we try to clean it all up ourselves with our religious efforts and our piety, yet all the while our hearts are dead. Is that not what we do? We try to fix ourselves. How many of you have heard people say, I need to get back in church, but I got to clean myself up first. I got to get my life right. I got to start doing things right, and then I'll get back in the church. Guys, that's backwards. They're trying to address the fruit of their lives while the root is wrong. Does that make sense? And we do the same thing. This is called behavior modification or moralism. And listen, if you grew up in the Bible Belt, there's about a 90% chance that you were fed this garbage and told that it was Christianity. But listen to me, it's not Christianity. It's not. Jesus didn't die to make us live good moral lives so we could pat each other on the back about how awesome we are while we watch Fox News and look down all the other sinners who sin in a different way than us and don't know Jesus like we do, and so we feel real good about ourselves. Understand, in the Bible, that was the Pharisees. That's not who Jesus Christ died, what he died to do. Jesus Christ died to come and address the root, the heart. Our heart is our problem. Of course the fruit is a problem. Sin is a problem. But guess what? Sin stems from wrong beliefs about who God is. And I want us to see that this morning. When we understand and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he produces good fruit in us. It's not optional. God says, whoever I justify and forgive and declare not guilty, I will also sanctify, which means he's going to go to work in us and change who we are. And when we are changed at the core of our heart, the thing is, we live according to what we believe. So we will act in accordance with that. Listen to Titus 2, 11 through 14. It's up on the screen, hopefully. There we go. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. When that means Jesus Christ has appeared. He is the grace of God. But listen to what that grace of God does in those whom it has appeared to. It trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works. Church, we have to be people who know what we believe, why we believe it, and then live it out. God has given us this word. And listen, I grew up in the church, and they told me over and over and over again, you have to be in the Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to read your Bible. But no one told me why. No one told me that reading the scriptures, when I get in here, what happens is the Holy Spirit, who now indwells me, goes to work and conforms me to this book, to where I live my life according to God's standard, his holy word, rather than according to my feelings, rather than according to my circumstances, rather than according to who I think God is. And listen, what I'm talking about here is not a one-time deal, this bearing good fruit thing. We also were taught a lot of times, pray this prayer, walk this aisle, get your fire insurance, and then your fruit will forever be changed. Listen, that's not in the Bible, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about today is progressive sanctification. It's a big churchy word where it means God is going to work in you, making you more and more and more holy. We live in a time where, as Christians, if we say we need to read our Bibles, we need to pray, people would even say you're being a little legalistic, right? You know, you should go to church on Sundays. Yeah, and people will say, that's legalistic. People in the church will say that. No, we cannot confuse obedience with legalism. God has called us to be obedient to his word. That's not legalism. It's just doing what God says. Walking by faith. Doing what God has told us to do. It's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what he's working in his people. This means that when God comes and dwells in us, he changes us. So listen, if there is no change, if there is no repentance, if there is no desire for God ever, no thoughts about God, it doesn't mean we've lost our salvation. It just means we're still dead root. We were professors, but not possessors of Christ. But guys, this is a struggle. Knowing and walking in the power of the Spirit is a struggle. I hope that what you hear this morning is I'm not saying once you trust in Christ and he is your root, that it always produces good fruit. Because what happens, guys, is when you do get a new root and Christ does become your heart and he takes over your life, there's still a battle going on. It's what Paul called the fight of faith. And you're in it this morning. If you're in here and you are a Christian, you are in a battle. You are in a battle. And I want to talk to you guys about how to fight it. How to fight it. If someone told you that when you trust in Christ, it's going to be easy after that, that person probably hasn't trusted in Christ yet. If they say that they're a Christian, oh, living this Christian life is a real easy thing, guess what? They're probably not living the Christian life because it is not easy. There is a battle going on for all of us. So that's why we have to have good theology, good doctrine, good beliefs, right beliefs about God. Because what we believe about God will manifest in the fruit of our lives. So if you look at Galatians 5, you're going to see this battle going on. And I want to read it to you. It's a little lengthy, but we'll get through it. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Galatia. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So guys, what Paul is describing right here is the battle that those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that those who have been born again, that we are in. When he talks about the flesh, he's talking about our sinful human nature that we're all born into because of our father Adam. Listen, when we come out of the wombs, we're sinners. My son, Judah, is 8 months old. He's a little sinner. It's just the truth. And it will manifest. His fruit, before too long, is going to be sin. And it's just good because he's born into it. Because the root of his heart is that he is an enemy of God and does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord yet. Lord willing, he will. In our household, we're going to raise him to. When we talked about in John, Jesus told his disciples, get prepared. The Spirit, he's going to come and he's going to indwell you. We see that happen. We're going to see that happen in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is going to come down and not only come upon his people like he did on the Old Testament, but he's going to indwell his people. So if you are in here and you're a Christian, you are indwelt by the very Spirit of God. And what Jesus calls that Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So what that means is that Spirit of truth is going to war against our flesh, our sinful flesh that wants to believe the wrong things about God rather than the truth about God. Guys, all of us in this room, depending on when you got saved, understand you were discipled by the world. All day long, we watch TV, we watch Netflix, we listen to whatever music. We're putting information in ourselves all the time. Understand, that's you being turned into a disciple of something. For me, for 25 years, I was discipled by the world, by Satan himself. He ruled my life. I thought the things that I thought I knew. I thought I was very smart, knew what I was talking about, but I understand now I was actually just living according to what the world says was right. And understand what the world says is right is directly opposed to what God says is right. So when I got saved and the Holy Spirit indwelt me and opened my eyes and I was able to get in the scriptures and understand who God is and who he says he is, a war started going on. The Spirit of truth started to battle my 25-year disciple spirit of flesh. My dead flesh, my sinful nature, they began to pound on each other. And it hurt. It's hard. It's still hard because it's still going on today. And guys, it's going on in you. What I'm talking about this morning is going on in your lives. Whether you realize it or not, I pray that you would realize it and that you would learn how to fight. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12, 2. Oh, actually, I'm not done with Galatians. My bad. Okay, so we'll go back to verse 18. It says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now listen, the works of the flesh, when we are following our own opinions, our own sinful nature, when we are following the ways of the world that are contrary to the Scripture, listen to what comes from it. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Listen to this part. Because there's something going on in the Christianity today where it says you can do those things, but Jesus Christ has paid your debt, so you can keep on doing those things. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And the people that believe that way have not experienced the grace of God. They're using the grace of God as a license. And Paul warns us about them in Romans 6. Says they don't get it. Listen, guys. Sleeping outside of marriage, it's just as sinful as living a homosexual lifestyle. It's just as sinful. They're both wrong. And they both need to be repented of by the power of the gospel. We can't take Jesus and say he's our Lord and Savior and not submit to him as King as well. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, their fruit, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because their fruit is evidence of their root. We have to look at our fruit to know what we're believing. But the fruit of the Spirit, so if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you'll be growing in these things. And I don't want you to hear sinless perfection this morning. I'm not saying that we won't fall. I'm saying we won't walk in it. I'm saying that we won't live in sin, walk in sin, and not be, and we won't be ruled by sin. I'm not saying we won't struggle with it. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, guys, we may know people who are really loving, who are really kind, who are really nice, but they're not Christians. Listen to me. There's going to be a lot of nice people in hell. Understand, when it's saying the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, what he is saying is that those things are being produced for the glory of God. We aren't just nice people to be nice people. We're nice people so that it would show how good our Creator is, that they might come and want to know him. There's a difference. Guys, people can live good moral lives and not know Jesus. Don't get that wrong. But at the fruit of their lives, that good morality, it's a lot of times underdwelt by self-righteousness. It's dwelt by pride. It's dwelt by them trusting in themselves and understand that does not glorify God and that is not actually a good fruit. The Spirit, work of the fruit of the Spirit, is actually when it's produced in our lives, it does. We do it for the glory of God because it is Him that is doing it in us. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Guys, this battle, the Spirit versus the flesh, it's going on in us all the time. For those who are truly Christian, understand we will never be perfect. Only God is perfect, but all those whom God declares forgiven will live for God progressively over time. Just like a tree grows fruit, it takes time for that fruit to be produced. Water's got to seep down into the roots, and it's got to be brought up from the roots into the vine, and then the vine will go and start bearing fruit, but even that fruit, it takes time to be produced. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then eventually, you got an apple sitting there, but it takes time. This does not happen overnight. But listen, guys, faith without works is dead. What that means is that if you have true faith in Christ as your root, He will produce fruit in your lives, the fruit of the Spirit. It's crazy to think that God, the Holy Spirit, can come and dwell in us, make home in us, and not clean house. He's going to clean house. He's going to change us. He's going to make us look like Christ. Romans 8:28 is one of our favorite verses. For God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. But we leave out 29. It says, for those who are called according to His purpose. And then the next verse says, for those whom He predestined, He also foreknew that He would also sanctify them so that they would look like Christ. Guys, when we were saved with a purpose, and that has become more and more holy, which is more and more how Christ was. We can't say that we're Christians and then just continually live like the world. What that means is we may not be Christians. And so if that's you this morning, my plea is understand the battle that you're in. I want to talk about that more. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Listen to this part. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's a doctrine. That's theology. He says, the life I now live, I live by my belief in who Jesus Christ was and the fact that He loved me and He died on the cross for me. That's how Paul walked out his faith. And guys, I'm telling you ultimately today, that's how we walk out our faith too. That's the secret. But it is a fight, and sometimes we get punched. Sometimes we fall. And sometimes we stay down for a long time. As long as we are in this body, our flesh and our spirit are going to be going to war. Aside from Jesus, the Apostle Paul was one of the more holy men in the Scriptures. Yet in Romans 7, we hear him going on in this battle. This is BJ's paraphrase, but he says, this is what Paul says in Romans 7. He says, I don't do what I know is right. I do what I don't want to do. I do what I know is wrong. What a wretched man that I am. Who will save me from myself? And then he says, Jesus. Jesus will save me. So right there, he's going on. He's in the battle. You see him in the battle. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm not doing what I know what's right. Why am I acting this way? Who's going to save me from this? And he says, Jesus. Jesus. He reminds himself of the truth. So guys, I first wanted us to see that our fruit is directly attached to our root, what we believe in our hearts. And then minute by minute, day by day, we are all in a fight over our beliefs about who God is. And the world and our sinful flesh and the enemy are telling us something different. So now I want to talk about how to fight. How do we fight this battle that we're in? And this is a little practical, so I want you to just kind of follow along with me, understanding that this is reality, that you're in this battle every day. You may just not be losing. You may be losing. You may not be struggling and doing well walking with Christ. You may be just walking with the enemy, just losing the battle day by day. But I believe that the battle, the fight of faith, is primarily focused on three beliefs: who God is, what God has done, and then who am I? These three beliefs are the battleground that we go to war in every single day. And I want us to see how this works out in our daily lives. So let's just use an example. How many in this room would say that over the course of your life, anxiety, worry, stress has been a part of your life? If y'all want to look around, almost every single person in the room has this hand, or their hand up, except Chase, which I actually believe. But Chase is chill, man. He's chill as it gets. But most of us in this room, anxiety and worry has plagued us. And I want us to understand that this one hits close to home for me lately. So if we look, the fruit of a lot of our lives has been anxiety or worry. And for me lately, this has been true of me. I have been struggling at work. Things have been hard at work. It's been just kind of a struggle lately. And I've felt the weight on my shoulders of that, to where I walk around and I'm tired and I'm worried. And I'm like thinking just, the worst thoughts possible. Understand that in that moment, I'm in the struggle. I'm in the battle for faith. And it's a battle over these three things. This is what's going on in my heart and in my mind. Who is God, or who God is, what God has done, and who am I? The fruit or the root of my life lately has led to anxiety and worry. And so what we have to do is, when we look at our lives and we see that the way we're living is not in alignment with who God says, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we have to understand that something is going on at the root level. We're not believing something right about who God is, what he's done, and who am I. So listen, for me, the past few weeks, when I say who God is, I've been believing that God's not good, that God is not in control, that God may not even love me, that God just, I know better than God, or maybe I can do things to make the situation better. I haven't been trusting in God. When I talk about what God has done, I think maybe God has left me. Maybe God has, I haven't been performing well enough, which is self-based righteousness, is works righteousness, it's not how grace works. And because of that, maybe God doesn't care about what's going on at my job. Maybe I can't perform like I need to. Maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe God left me. And then I say, who am I? I think, maybe I don't know God that well. Maybe I still am a sinner and just don't know Christ at all. Maybe I'm just not good enough to do what I need to do. maybe I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. Maybe I'm not going to be the man that I thought I could be for the glory of God. Now listen, all of those things are hard to say to you, but that is what I've been believing in my heart that has led to anxiety being produced as fruit in my life. And what I just did, saying all those things out loud, is called confession. I'm confessing the truths, actually the lies that I'm believing that are producing the bad fruit in my life. The lies of the enemy, the lies of my flesh. When I say those things out loud, they're ridiculous. I know that they're not true. But I'm believing them in those moments. The worst thing that I can do, and this is what the church has done for a long time, is rather than confess those beliefs out loud and bring them to the light so that God can go to war against them with the power of his word, what they've wanted to do is just hide it away and act like everything's all right. I got my suit on, I got my tie on, I'm good, I'm clean. Listen, guys, I'm going to out every single one of you in this room. You all have sin. You all have issues. You all have struggles. Don't hide them. You're in a safe place. Don't hide them. Because God already knows them, and they're making war against your soul. They're making war against your joy. And the thing you need to do is confess them and bring them to the light. So that the word of God, the power of the Spirit, and the gospel can go to war against them. Confession. We must confess. We must be real. Listen to 1 John 1 through 9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. God is making a promise that if we confess our sins, He will forgive them and He will cleanse us from them. We can't hide them. We got to bring them to the light. Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, guys, and understand that this is what we have to do. Paul just said it in Romans 12:2. We must be transformed by the renewal of our minds. In this moment, my heart and my mind were listening to lies, and it was producing a negative fruit. I have to recognize that fruit and then go to war against my beliefs and repent of them. Repent of the lies. I confess them, and then I put truth in. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. What Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians is that our weapons, the war that we use to battle, is the word of God. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, which is the scriptures, and take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, which is the scriptures, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So guys, what Paul is saying here is that when we are in this battle and we are producing sinful fruit, it's because we have a wrong root. We have wrong beliefs. And we have to check out what we're believing, what we're thinking about God. So listen, when I was going through this, and I was weighed down, ask Hannah, I was a wreck for a couple of days. I asked my brothers to pray for me, you know, I was struggling. God, I woke up one morning, and I was thinking about this, and God led me to Philippians 4. Listen to Philippians 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Hear this. This was for me this week. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, and this is where Paul is saying, you've got to take your thoughts captive and remind yourself of what really is going on. What's reality? Who is God really? He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So I read that, and what I had to do was say, okay, BJ, I'm being ruled by anxiety and worry the past 2 weeks. I need to look at my fruit and say, what am I believing about God? So I confess those lies, and then I started talking about the truth. Who is God? I know that God is good. I know He's in control. I know He's sovereign. I know He will work all things together for the good of me. And He will never leave me or forsake me. I know He's faithful. I've seen Him be faithful for 33 years. I've seen Him get me through other issues at my job. I know that He loves me. How do I know that He loves me? Because He sent His Son, His perfect Son, who laid down His life for me. If God will do that for me, if He will sacrifice His Son so that I might be forgiven and reconciled to Him, you know what else He's going to do? He's going to help me and get me through my job. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to not lose my job. But if I do, guess what? He's going to work it all together for my good. And then I had to ask, who am I? I'm a child of the King. I'm a fellow heir with Christ. I will be with God in eternity forever. As Matt Chandler says, in 10,000 years, the things that cause us anxiety and worry and rule us will seem ridiculous. When we are before the throne of God, we will look back at our lives and be like, man, was I really worried about that? I see how powerful my King is, and I'm His child. There's a scripture where I'm not exactly sure where it's at, but Jesus is talking about the love of God, and He says, when a child comes to you, your child comes to you and asks you for a good gift, do you give him a snake? No, of course not. It's ridiculous. And He says, and you guys are sinners. He says, imagine how good our God is. If you come to Him and ask Him for something, is He going to give you something bad for you? No, He's a perfect, loving God. He knows exactly what you need. So guys, what happened is that God began to remind me through the power of His Spirit. I was listening to my flesh and my beliefs about God, and it was bringing fruit that did not glorify God. But when I began to, not I began to, the Holy Spirit began to remind me of who God really is, according to His Scriptures, what did I begin to feel? What began to manifest in my life? Peace. Joy. Rest. Because the root, the beliefs that God was aligning back with the Scriptures about who He really is, was actually beginning to bear fruit in my life again. And guys, that is a battle and a fight we are all in every day. That's just anxiety. I could have put lust up there for some of us. And you know what lust is? It's saying that this temporary pleasure will give me more joy than God. When it manifests itself in pornography, sexual immorality, lust, looking at people the wrong way, thinking and dwelling on them too long, what you're saying is that person or that feeling is better than the Almighty God of this world. And you can do that with every sin. That's what it is. Sin is preferring something more than God. And we know. We're Christians. We've walked with Jesus. We know. I'm thinking back to the 25 years where I didn't know Christ. Man, my life after that, knowing Christ, has not been easier. But man, it's been better. It has been more full of joy, more full of satisfaction. But what we tend to do is we tend to run back to those things that we think will satisfy us when we know from experience they don't. What the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to do is remind us who God really is, what He's done, and who we are in Him. This is the fight of faith. And what I want for you all to be able to do is fight this battle too. I don't want to just teach this and then just go back to living where we don't struggle and wrestle with these things. Listen, guys, the Christian life is not meant to just be barely survived. We're meant to thrive. We have God living in us. If we understood what that means, worry and anxiety, seriously? My God is in the heavens, and He does what He pleases, and He tells me that He's going to take care of me. And even the hard things, the trials and the temptation, are actually producing something good in me that brings Him glory and brings me joy. Which means the worst things that happen to us in our lives are actually the best things that could happen to us. And that's for us, guys. That ain't for the whole world. Romans 8:28 says, for God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, It doesn't say for everybody. It says for those who love him. That's a special privilege that we have in Christ. So God, this flesh and this spirit battle is going on, and I just gave you an example. But it's the Spirit leading us into the truth. We must trust in the power of God rather than our own strength, and when that happens, the Holy Spirit produces good fruit in our lives. Listen, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But as Martin Luther says, the faith that saves is never alone. True belief in the gospel will yield fruit in our lives. So guys, I want us to wrap it up. Take a look at the fruit in your lives. Take a look at how you live, what you do, what you enjoy, what you think about primarily. Are those things glorifying to God? Are those things coming from a root that knows Jesus Christ and knows he is better than anything this world has to offer? If you are looking at your life right now and thinking, no, it doesn't, understand, I'm not telling you to go get your Bibles and become religious nuns who just make war against your fruit. I'm telling you, you need to repent of the wrong beliefs. You need to repent of the wrong beliefs. You need to get in your Word so that you can know God better. And that he, by the power of the Spirit, can change and transform your mind and the way that you think and your heart so that you see things from a different perspective. And you begin to live for something more than yourselves, but you live for God. And when you do that, he will produce the good fruit. Philippians 1:6 says that the God who goes to work in us will complete that work. It's not optional. And lastly, we don't fight this battle alone. We do this in community. Guys, look around. There's probably about 50, 60 people in here. In God's providence, this is who God has put you around to do this with. We do not fight this battle alone. And like I said, all of you are already outed. You're all sinners. You all have issues. You all have some kind of struggle that's going on in your life. So let's not fake it. What we need to do is understand that God has gifted us with all with each other so that we can get to know each other, be in community together, hang out together, and go to war against our sin together for God's glory. That means we can admit our struggles to each other. That means when we get in missional community, we can be open about what our fruit has looked like this week. And if it's bad fruit, be open about it. Like I said, the worst thing we can do is not confess the truth. We have brothers and sisters around us when we're in community and doing life together who can spot our blind spots. Because guys, a lot of times, I think I've got all my crap together. I think I'm doing great. But my brother over here is like, I see this in you. You got a little bit of pride going on. You need to see this. He does it lovingly. What that does is causes me to look at the fruit that maybe I'm missing and repent. But guys, in order to be able to do this, we have to be involved in each other's lives. We've got to get around each other. At Grace Fellowship, we're not going to do a bunch of programs that, you know, Awanas and all this stuff, which they have a place, but we're not going to do that. We are a church primarily that tries to do community. They're getting together and hanging out in normal life situations, which means we get together and get coffee and talk about what the Spirit's doing in our lives. We have people into our households, and we have dinner with them, and we talk about what's going on in our lives. We go bowling with our friends who are in here. What we tend to do is we get off work, we're so tired, we go in and we watch Netflix till we go to sleep, and we're on this cycle where we do that day to day, every single day, and the next thing we wake up and we've lived 10 years and haven't really gotten to know any of the people that are around us. When that's the very thing that we were created to do, is get to know each other. So guys, I would just tell you, if you're in here and you're not in a missional community, then you need to be. Not because it's this work you got to do to make God happy, but it's because you can't fight this fight alone. You need your brothers and sisters. Some of you in this room are leaders Some of you in this room are much more mature than others. I want to challenge you. Stop waiting around for someone to hold your hand. Find someone in this room who's less mature than you, who hasn't been in this struggle and doesn't know how to fight well, and go and help them with it. It's called making disciples. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey. That means that we are to go. If you're in here and you're a leader and you're more mature than some of the other ones, that means we go and find our younger brothers and sisters and we teach them what it looks like to walk with Christ, to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh, to walk through the Scriptures and understand who God is. He says he is according to the Scriptures, not based off of our feelings. Guys, we're in this together. We're in this together. Hear Hebrews 10. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That means God will do what he says he will do. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Listen, we can't stir up each other and encourage each other to love and good works or good fruit if we're not meeting together, if we're not around each other, if we're not talking. And that's what he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Christ is coming back, and he's coming back for his people. And he says over and over and over again, be prepared, be ready. Don't be like a sluggard who's sleeping, and I come back and you're asleep or you're drunk. Be prepared. It could happen anytime. And that's what we need each other for, to help us walk in the righteousness that God has called us to, and he has empowered us to walk in. Maybe some of you in this room have no idea what I'm talking about. You're not in a fight, and you don't know Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's okay. God has you here for a reason. I keep saying the word gospel. I've said it several times throughout the sermon. The way that God saves people and gives them new hearts, new roots that produce good fruit, is through the power of the gospel. And what the gospel means is the good news. But guys, to have the good news, we have to have the bad news. So first, I'm going to give you the bad news. The bad news is that we have a holy creator who created us, who loves us, who gives us breath. And from our birth, we rebel against him. We turn away from him. We think that we know better than God. And we live according to our flesh and live according to what feels right, rather than according to what he says is the best plan for us. It's called sin. All of us in this room have sinned against that God. And we all deserve to be punished for it. That's what's called hell. God's wrath being poured out on those, his creation, who have sinned against him. But rather than send us all to hell, here's the good news. God sent his only son who came down to earth and lived the perfect life, who did not sin, who obeyed every single thing that God the Father gave him to do. He walked in faith every single moment of his life by the power of the Spirit. And then, rather than him get the crown and the joy and everything that he deserved, he got what we deserved. He stood on the place on a cross and took on our penalty. He died and shed his blood and was punished under the wrath of God instead of us. Instead of us. And not only that, he rose from the dead, showing that the fact that he was who he said he was and what he did is finished. I have paid the debt for all of those who would believe in me. So if you're in this room and you're a Christian, understand that's why you're a Christian. You believe in that. If you're in this room and you're not in the struggle, understand you don't believe that yet. But today could be the day. Repent and trust in Christ. Repent of believing the wrong way according to what the world has said and say, God, I want to be forgiven. I don't want God's wrath. I don't want your wrath. I don't want hell upon me. Forgive me, Lord, please. I trust in Christ. He has paid my debt. And if you say that and you believe that in your heart, guess what? God will make you new, give you a new root, and he will begin the process of bearing fruit in you. As you get around your brothers and sisters, as you get in the Word, he'll begin to bear good fruit. Those who are in Christ and who know Jesus recognize the battle we're in. As you leave here and you go to work tomorrow, recognize the battle you're in. When your life is producing bad fruit, recognize the issue is you're not believing the truth about God and who He is, and that He is worthy, and that He is the best thing for you. He is a treasure to be cherished. And guys, let's do this together. We need each other. We are a family here. This is our community. Let's not just meet on Sunday mornings. There's plenty of churches where you can go and just meet on Sunday mornings. And they're not bearing much fruit either. Let's get together and get each other's lives so that we can go to war against our sin for the glory of our Father. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that, Lord, none of us in this room deserve to be able to come to you right now, to talk to you, to talk about your word, to talk about these things. We all deserve to be punished because of our sin and our rebellion against you, for listening to the lies of Satan and thinking they're true about you. God, for bearing fruit that makes a mockery of your name. And God, you still haven't left us. You still haven't punished us. God, rather you sent Jesus instead of punishing us, you punished him, our substitute. And God, I pray today that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to learn what it looks like to struggle well, to fight this fight. Lord God, to go to war against the lies that we believe about you. And God, that you would correct them. You would correct them and make them conformed to what the Scriptures say. God, would you please cause us to get outside of ourselves and to get in community. To begin to get around each other, get to know each other, grow in relationships, enjoy each other, understanding that we all have little issues and little nuances that may drive each other crazy, but the more we get around each other, the more we'll love each other. That's just how you work. But God, we need you to work. Holy Spirit, we need you to do this in us. So please, whatever sin we're wrestling with, whatever fruit that's coming out of our lives that does not glorify you, let us begin to ask ourselves, what are we believing? And God, bring us to repentance that we might believe the truth about who you are and that you might manifest joy, peace, love, the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. God, that we would go to war against our flesh by your power today, God, not our own. We need you, God, for this. I thank you so much for these people, Lord, and what you're doing in their lives already. I can't wait to see how you continue to grow us all for your glory. As we worship you now, God, I pray that our hearts would believe the truths in these songs. We are singing the Scriptures in these songs. God, cause us to believe. Give us faith where we lack it. We believe, Lord, help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.